Welcome to the What Really Happened radio show. Putting America first, second, and third. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show here today. It is Wednesday, May 8th, 2013. Getting into the middle of the week, hump day, middle of the week, starting that long, slow glide down to Powhana Friday and another weekend. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. Manny is sitting in our control room, twiddling the dials, keeping us out of trouble and ready to answer the phone when you call on in with your concerns and observations. Yesterday, a little bit of economic news right here at the top. The Dow Industrial Averages closed above 15,000 for the first time. And, of course, everybody's out there throwing confetti and saying, yay, economy, and trying to act like this is the only thing you should be paying attention to in terms of the economy, which is why you should not. And as I've said many times before, when they start treating the stock market like it's a sports score, it's a sign to be worried about this situation. And remember, just before the big crash of 1929, the stock market set a record. Just in August of that same year, huge record. And the financial writers were saying stocks are on a permanently high plateau. Huzzah, 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 which, of course, turned out not to be the case. Now, getting on to the Syria situation, as you're probably aware, yesterday Syria literally vanished from the Internet. Just completely gone, nothing in, nothing out. We were getting reports that cell phones, power, and landlines were out in Damascus. Landlines were working in Homs. Some Syrians apparently have direct satellite links through which they can access the Internet. They were getting some videos out regarding some shelling that was going on, all kinds of stuff. Syria's Internet is now back connected to the rest of the world. Traffic is very, very slow. A lot of packet loss still going on. We're still waiting to hear exactly what was involved there. We know that Syria imprudently runs all of its Internet connection to the rest of the world through a single building, the Syrian Telecommunications Ministry. And if something happened to that building, obviously would shut it all down. Maybe it was a hack attack. We're still waiting to find out what's going on about that. But the important thing to keep in mind is that all during this time that the Syrian Internet was completely cut off from the rest of the world, over in Twitter and other social media, all of the pro-invasion, pro-FSA, oh, we want our country back propaganda was still flowing unabated. What does that tell us? It tells us all this stuff claiming to be from Syria and please save us from the evil Assad does not originate in Syria itself. It's all being generated from outside that country. Otherwise, it would have stopped at the same time Syria's Internet went down. A little kind of a failure to think these things through. Failure to get the word out there with their little online shill saying, look, Syria is supposed to be shut off. Quit posting, quit posting. Didn't work here. All righty, let's see. Moving right along here. Major development regarding Syria, and you have to read between the lines on this one. As you probably aware, earlier in the week, Secretary of State John Kerry traveled to Moscow to have a meeting with Putin. Ostensibly, the official story was to talk about the Tsarnaev brothers and the links to Boston. Of course, we had it from other sources. John Kerry was going to Russia to basically tell them, stay out of Syria, just leave us alone, we're going to do our little thing, and you should not get involved. Well, Kerry did not achieve his ends, and the warning sign was that John Kerry was kept waiting for 3 whole hours for his meeting with Putin. And apparently during the meeting, Putin was just playing with his pencil and going through the motions. Very clear and unambiguous diplomatic signal right there and then. So when we come back from these commercials, further analysis about what happened in Moscow and how it portends for Syria and eventually Iran. We'll be right back.
What do you need? You need paracord. CampingSurvival.com is providing you U.S. military 550 paracord. 550 tensile strength. Military specifications. Made in the USA. Available in 3,000, 1,000, 600, 300, 150 links. You can purchase yours now at campingsurvival.com. Lowest prices on paracord. Huge selection. All ready to be shipped. Black paracord, 1,000 feet. Only $39.83 right now on campingsurvival.com. But wait, use the code FREEDOM when purchasing and save 5% off. Paracord is a unique material used for many different reasons. Get yours from campingsurvival.com now. Confidence born of preparation, campingsurvival.com.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and, in some instances, your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
I was driving to work one morning in Austin, Texas, listening to talk radio. And I heard this guy say the Federal Reserve is a private bank that prints money out of thin air. Well, I was so amazed to be informed of this that I made his website one of my favorites and proceeded to listen to his mind-liberating audio.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And we're talking about Secretary of State John Kerry's meeting with Vladimir Putin in Moscow. Original cover story is they were just going to talk about the Tsarnaev brothers and their links to the Boston bombing and so forth. Then, of course, it came out that Kerry was on his way to Moscow to try and talk them into sitting out an invasion of Syria. Because remember, Foreign Minister Lavrov had sent a very clear message to the United States of America through then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, that if the United States invaded Syria and or Iran, Russia was committed to turning those nations into the new Vietnam and just keep on pouring in supplies and support and wear the United States down in a war of attrition that the United States lacks the resources to fight for any prolonged period of time. So Kerry's mission in Moscow was to get Vladimir Putin to say, all right, well, go ahead, we'll let you take Syria. No big deal, right? And Putin apparently put up a brick wall right in the way of the American war machine. Now, they came out of that meeting and they issued an announcement that the U.S. and Russia have agreed to encourage both sides in Syria to cease the fighting. It's one of these politically acceptable statements to make, and the Arab League is out there praising this U.S.-Russia deal to stop the fighting in Syria. It is not a U.S.-Russia deal. Russia said to the U.S., the fighting must stop. And Kerry has had to back down. And now they're trying to save face by making it look like this is what Kerry really wanted, and that's obviously not the case. If the United States wanted the fighting in Syria to stop, they would stop sending the guns and the money to the hired mercenary army. Now, I wish this was the end of it. We'd all say, oh, okay, the threat of a Syrian escalation is gone, and we can all relax and go back to our pending summertime activities, like shoveling out the snow from the driveway one more time. But unfortunately, as I've mentioned before, this program of dollarification across the globe is an all-or-nothing deal. The U.S. ultimate agenda with all of these wars of invasion is to force the world back onto Bretton Woods, that the dollar will be the global trade and reserve currency. And it doesn't work if it's only half the globe, because the rest of the world will simply go to those nations that aren't trading in the dollar, because when you have to go through the dollar first to conduct trade, the U.S. takes a piece of the action. That's the reason Bretton Woods was such a sweet deal for the United States of America. The United States automatically got wealth by trading the dollars back and forth, just pieces of ink and paper, and taking a piece of the action. Now, the world does not want to go back to Bretton Woods. More and more nations are doing currency exchanges directly between themselves without going through the dollar. And it represents lost revenue for the Federal Reserve, which is the broker of these dollars going back and forth, ultimately. And the United States has gone too far down this path to reassert Bretton Woods on the globe to simply turn around and say, all right, wrong policy, we're going to turn around and go back, return to status quo ante. And so I think what we're going to see in the coming weeks is a ratcheting up of propaganda against Russia, demonization, those gosh darn Russians, they won't play the game by the rules we made up. And so we're going to see an escalation of tensions there. And unfortunately, sadly, the reality is, and history bears this out, in big mistake number one and big mistake number two, the private central banks that are the authors of all of this predatory behavior on the planet are perfectly willing to see the United States go to war against Russia and China, potentially including nuclear weapons, in order to keep their little Ponzi scheme banking system as the model for the world's economy. And of course, their model is the public currency is not a public utility. The public currency is just another money-making scam for the bankers. And because Kerry was not able to get Moscow to back down over Syria, we're going to see more and more leading up to a confrontation with Russia and China directly, and that is something we really need to avoid at all costs here. Now, getting back into Syria, there's still this debate, name-calling going on between the United States and the United Nations over just who it was who used chemical weapons against the Syrian people. And even Haaretz reported back on March 24th that it was the jihadists who were behind the chemical attacks. And the UN is agreeing, but the new lie is, oh, it's Assad, he's using chemical weapons. And the United States government is saying, well, we simply do not accept the United Nations conclusion. And frankly, since it was not the United Nations who lied to us all about Saddam's weapons of mass destruction, his nuclear bombs, I think we have to give the United Nations the benefit of the doubt here. We know the United States government lies to us. They lied about Saddam's weapons of mass destruction. They lied about human-caused global warming. They lied about the state of unemployment and the economy. In fact, we could probably save ourselves a lot of time and trouble by simply keeping track of those few times when the government actually told us the truth about something, if anybody can come up with something like that. Evidence is surfacing. This is reported over at b4in.info. that the chemical weapons were smuggled through Turkey by the CIA to give to the hired mercenaries to use on Syrian civilians to blame on Assad. So that thing is coming apart. Now, interestingly enough, looking at the corporate media, Fox News is giving total coverage to the hearings into Benghazi. CNN and MSNBC, which are the other two channels I tend to look at on a regular basis, are pretty much, you know, Benghazi hearings and side thing, and they're all focused on the return of one of these three kidnapped women to her family. They've got cameras set up, the balloons are out, and everybody's, they're just waiting for this girl to finally come home after 9.5 years. And they're using this to conditize America, to keep us not paying attention to what happened in Syria, to what happened in Moscow. And in this case, they're hoisting on their own petard, certainly in regard to the gun grabbers, because as more and more of this story comes out, it turns out that the neighbors around this house, where these women were being held captive for almost 10 years, called the police repeatedly. One of them had seen one of these women naked, crawling on her hands and knees in the backyard of the house. They heard pounding on the doors. They noticed plastic bags taped over the windows so people couldn't look inside. They called the police. The police showed up, didn't go inside, didn't check anything out, walked away. This case in Ohio with these three women is the most recent in a long chain of reminders that the police cannot, do not, and will not save you from criminals. If just one of those girls had been carrying concealed, this horrible tragedy that has devastated their lives could have been avoided. Yes, they're probably going to get some kind of a movie deal out of it, but they've lost 10 years of their life. They're never going to get back. Now, we, the people of the United States of America, under the Second Amendment and under common sense, have a right to keep and bear arms equal, if not superior, to those in the hands of the criminals. And the criminals appear to be getting military-style weapons direct from the U.S. government. You are paying for them through that fast and furious gun-running operation. And here's another case. This happened last weekend in Washington, D.C. Lady named Kathleen Burke. Man broke into her home. She was assaulted physically by the intruder. She tried to call 911 and kept getting a recorded message. "We're sorry, all of our lines are busy right now." By the time she actually got to a 911 operator, her attacker had already gotten tired and left. That's the message for you. The gun grabbers are out there saying, "You can turn in your guns. The police will take care of you." No, they will not. And there have been all these court rulings reaffirming that the police do not actually have a duty to save you from violent criminals. You cannot sue them for failing to protect you. Let me just read a couple of the cases here. This is probably the most famous. Warren versus District of Columbia. This is the one about the three women sharing a townhouse. Two women upstairs hear the woman downstairs being attacked and sexually assaulted. They call 911. Save the police are on the way. Police are on the way. Police are on the way. Finally, it goes quiet downstairs. They figure the police are there. They walk down. They get captured by the attackers, forced to do sex acts and sex shows for them all night long. And finally, the attackers leave. These three women sued the police for not showing up, and the court said, "No, actually, there is no relationship under the law where the police are obligated to come and help you." Another one, Castle Rock versus Gonzalez, where this woman who had a court-issued protective order against her ex-husband, and he was violating it, she kept calling the police. The husband wound up kidnapping and then killing their three daughters. She sued, and the court said, "No, not really. Don't have grounds to sue. The police don't really have an obligation to come and protect you." Davidson versus City of Westminster. Guy who got stabbed in a laundromat under police surveillance. And it just goes on and on and on. The police are not going to come to save you. If they show up at all, it is after the crime is over. It is time to arm the American people against the criminals. That is the core of the gun debate. Not tyranny, not potential revolution. We, the American people, have a right to be safe in our homes. We'll be right back.
The free and independent states of America were born July 4th, 1776. The 56 delegates signed the Declaration of Independence. Congress ordered it engrossed, sent to the several assemblies, conventions, committees, councils of safety, and several commanding officers of the Continental Army. After the war, several nations traded with the free United States of America. Any agency, officer, or employee acting as if the declaration were void or obsolete is without the right and the consent. They place themselves as an equal to the Creator and are warring with Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution and with the people. Our grand jury has been destroyed without the consent or the right. Return the grand jury customarily impaneled by the elected county sheriff and one where people can appear with information. McGilvery Machine Company, Reading, Michigan.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Well, they're stealing down on Wall Street and in Washington, too. You know, it makes me wonder what's a guy on Main Street to do. I've always tried to be an honest, upstanding kind of guy. But I must admit lately, I thought about giving something else a try. Oh, I want to be a pirate. I want to sail the seven seas. Yeah, I want to be a pirate. I want to do just what.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking about the implications of this case out of Ohio where these three girls were abducted nearly 10 years ago, kept prisoner in a house, raped. One of them now has a six-year-old daughter of her, or six-year-old child of her own. And the realization, this simply underscores the fact the police are not going to protect you from the criminals. You can't sue them when they don't. The courts have ruled repeatedly the police don't actually have an obligation to save you from criminals. They're too busy writing traffic tickets or something, spying on the Occupy movement. I got an email from somebody saying it's ridiculous to suggest these three girls should have been carrying concealed because two of them were minors. So what? Because they're below a certain age, it's preferable to let them get imprisoned and raped for 10 years? Let's lower the age for concealed carry. When I was a kid, it was normal to get your first gun at age 12. Reminds me of that old statement where gun control is the theory that a woman lying dead and raped and strangled with her own pantyhose in an alley is somehow preferable to that same woman explaining to the police how her attacker got shot. If kids are being attacked, let's arm the kids. Teach them gun safety and how serious it is, and let them carry guns. Kids carried guns when I was a kid. Admittedly, a long time ago, we're talking half a century. But it worked back then. When the town I lived in, we never had a school shooting. We didn't have any shooting. The entire time I lived there, there was only one shooting incident, which may have been an attempted suicide. And that was it, the one time. Now, little interesting story here. The gun grabbers are out there screaming about gun crime and gun violence and how it'll all be better if we all surrender our guns. The reality is that when you take away all of these promoted media events like Sandy Hook that are waved around to scare us all, the reality is gun crime in the United States of America is in decline. It is down from its peak in the middle of the 1990s. Gun killings are down, assaults are down, robberies and other crimes. This is government data. And most Americans aren't aware of it because the corporate media isn't reporting that. Because if gun crime is going down, people are going to say, well, then obviously banning guns, you know, it's not going to have anything to do with that. The reason gun crime is down is because more and more areas of the country are becoming gun friendly, like these towns in Georgia that have made it a law. You must have a gun in your home, and crime goes down. Now, one more little story before we take a phone call. There's a gentleman, Neil Heslin, who lost one of his sons at the Sandy Hook shooting, and he has been put all over the media and before Congress lobbying for gun bans, and maybe they should have picked a different poster child, because apparently he is going to court on larceny and other charges, writing bad checks. Five separate cases for larceny and fraud on the docket at the court. Not exactly the best spokesman for gun control in this country. Going to grab a phone call. Scott in Colorado. Aloha, Scott. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Steve in Colorado.
Steve in Colorado. I'm sorry, that's that mutant hamster again on the keyboard.
That's all right. Mike, you bring out such good points. I mean, I'm being honest with you. I think the crime is going up with cops, crime, you know, abuse on people. I can't believe what... I mean, all you have to do is just type in YouTube, I don't know, police abuse, or, you know, you just find all these things that are coming about. And that's my friend of mine sent me a site called peacefulstreets.com. I don't know if you know anything about that site and what happened in Austin, Texas, where there was police abuse going on there at some college, and then just a bystander started, you know, videotaping, and then the cops just kind of like... you know, push this guy and then arrest him and everybody else that was just trying to, you know, and then the cop's like, you messed with the effing wrong cop. I mean, this is, not to discredit anything or go against what you believe, Mike, but this is why you got people like Kokesh going up against the big boys up there, because they feel that their laws are, you know, I mean, we have no rights, so why do their laws mean anything? I mean, and it's like, this is what's going to happen, Mike, no matter how much we all try to say, look, we want peace and this and that. You know, there's going to be a whole bunch of people eventually saying, you know what, nobody's getting arrested, this and that, and it's about the people taking charge. They're not doing anything.
Actually, no, what it's about is money. Remember how I've been saying where the medical industry does not want a healthy America because they can't make money off of them? The police departments do not want crime-free streets, because then everybody's going to say, well, we can cut back the police department. We don't need all these big armored transports and these drones and all the rest of that. The police budgets are dependent on a public perception of crime, and this is why you're going to have police officers get called to a house where naked women are seen crawling around the backyard, and they're screaming and pounding on the walls, and the cops are going to turn away. We went through that here where I live. Last summer, we had drug dealing activity on both sides of us. We called the cops repeatedly. They can't be bothered. The Secret Service was out here checking them out. They didn't make a case. They need for there to be crime in the streets to pay for all those pretty black and white cars and uniforms and all the shiny badges and buttons. Thank you for the call. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. TerraVim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from TerraVim? Simple. TerraVim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to TerraVim.com. That's TerraVim.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on earth.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Now more than ever, killing many viruses and bacteria in our homes and at work is important. With the flu epidemic running rampant, you need to protect yourself and your family the best you can with purified air. Our air purifiers not only kill many viruses and bacteria in the air, but on surfaces too. Our air purifiers will also kill molds, fungi, mildew, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases, removes dust, pollen, pet odors, and smoke. We have portable units, HVAC and industrial size units. In our homes today, protect your family the best you can by calling 1-877-605-9200 or go to our online store at republicbroadcasting.org. Call today to receive your 10% off and free shipping on any home unit. 1-877-605-9200.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And as long as that last caller brought it up, I do want to go back and address the issue of Adam Kokesh and his planned march into Washington, D.C. with people carrying loaded firearms as a demonstration. I see this as a classic opportunity for the United States government to infiltrate Kokesh's group with agent provocateurs who will get inside Washington, D.C. and provoke some kind of a confrontation that will lead to gunfire, that will allow the government to say, oh, it's a national emergency, all of those gun nuts are dangerous and a clear and present danger, and they'll be off and running with finally getting rid of that Second Amendment. And I don't want to get into whether Adam Kokesh is or is not complicit in such a dastardly plot. He may just see this as a publicity stunt that's going to get his name in the newspapers, and it's certainly working. He's certainly getting a lot of attention because of this. Now, the new developments are the District of Columbia Metropolitan Police Department Chief Kathy Lanier is saying anybody who walks into Washington, D.C. from Virginia carrying a loaded gun will be arrested. And so they're already telling us there will be a confrontation between these people carrying these loaded guns and the police. It is just ripe for an agent provocateur to shoot a police officer and just get this whole cascade going. Remember, I've been saying this for months. The United States government doesn't know how to deal with Americans simply standing up and saying we're not going to be the wallet of last resort for Wall Street any longer. That was the message coming out of the Occupy movement. They didn't know how to deal with that. The only thing the U.S. federal government knows how to deal with is force. They're preparing for a violent uprising of the American people. They hope for it. They want it, because then they have their excuse to suspend the Constitution, declare martial law and a national emergency, and that will be the end of the Republic. We will be that grand dictatorship that George Bush was joking about. How much easier it would be if it was a dictatorship. Only a few months ago, we were seeing these trial balloons in the New York Times saying it's time to get rid of that Constitution. The federal government could operate much more efficiently if there wasn't all this darn civil liberty stuff to have to worry about. So we know that's the direction that they're going. And this Adam Kokesh march is like an engraved invitation for the federal government to come in and provoke an act of violence and gunfire in the streets of Washington, D.C. And it's an old, old stunt. As I've mentioned before, way back during the Vietnam War, the FBI, using their on-campus informants, organized this huge peace march to take place in front of the Disneyland theme park in Anaheim, California. That's what all the people who went along with this thought they were going to do, march up and down on Harbor Boulevard with signs. Once they were there, the leaders of this protest, meaning the undercover FBI informants on the college campuses who had infiltrated the peace movement, led the protesters inside. They took over Tom Sawyer Island. They were Tom Sawyer's Island. They were smoking dope there in full view of all of the park's customers. They caused property damage. National Guard shows up along with the press. And the next day it was headline news all across America. Those so-called peace activists were beating up on Mickey Mouse. And in a single PR stunt, destroyed the credibility of the anti-war movement, which allowed the Vietnam War to continue to the eventual loss of 60,000 American lives. And nobody knows how many Vietnamese were killed. And during the 1970s, during the hearings into COINTELPRO abuses by the FBI against the American people, it came out this whole staged riot was organized and carried out by the FBI on orders from the Nixon White House. This is how they change public opinion. And this Adam Kokesh march into Washington, D.C., whether Adam himself is complicit or not, it is going to be used to create an event that will allow the government to demonize those of us who support the Constitution of the United States of America, who support the Second Amendment, to call for a gun grab, even as it becomes more and more obvious that gun crime has actually gone down since the 1990s. That SSRIs are the common factor in all of these mass shootings at movie theaters and schools, and the realization that the police aren't really going to protect you from crime. The police love crime. The more crime there is, the more tax money they get for all their little toys. The police don't want a crime-free area, because then they don't have a job any longer. They love crime. They love new laws. The more absurd, the better. We're going to go out and we're going to, you know, get our paychecks here by enforcing the thou shalt not wear plaid on Tuesdays law. We know there's a lot of absurd laws in this country, and the police will enforce them because that's what they're paid to do. No laws, no crime. There's nothing for the police to do. And the taxpayers are going to say, let's start scaling these police departments down and save a few bucks. Put the money back in our schools. It's the same scam all over again. It's like the pharmaceutical companies don't want you to be healthy. If you're healthy, if you're cured of all diseases, they can't make money off of you. If there was really a crime-free city, the police department would lose their funding. The police love crime. They can't exist without it. And that is why so many criminals are simply overlooked, allowed back out on the streets to keep up that fear, to keep up that terror, to keep us pouring our money into these uniformed police departments who the courts repeatedly say don't actually have an obligation to protect us from violent crime. And that situation in Ohio underscores it. These three girls were held captive for almost 10 years, just 2 miles from where they lived. The neighbors were calling the cops and saying, we're seeing a naked woman on her hands and knees in the backyard. We're hearing pounding on the walls and screaming. And the police showed up, took a look, didn't go in, walked away. And that is the reality of the police force in this country. Now, I will concede there are members of the police force who join the police force out of a sincere desire to serve their community. But the higher you go within the organization, the more and more it comes about getting funding and political support and the realization that if you want bigger budgets for your police department, there has to be more crime visible to the public. It can't be the other way. So the leadership of the police become just as corrupted as the pharmaceutical company or the government, any other form of the government. It becomes corrupted. They're driven by the desire for more funding. What's going to get us more funding? More crime in the streets here. What's going to get TSA and Department of Homeland Security more funding? We need more acts of terror. And it becomes a self-feeding cycle. Now, speaking of violence that is used to justify bigger budgets for the Department of Homeland Security, it has now come out that Dzhokhar Tsarnaev did not actually shoot a Boston police officer. We now know he did not actually have any guns when he was hiding out in that boat. And it turns out the police officer who was shot by one of his other fellow officers. Why were they just shooting willy-nilly? Well, they thought they had a cop killer because of that MIT cop who was shot in the head sitting in his car. And I think that was the officer tippet of the current scam. You've got two patsies you've set up to take the fall for a staged act of terror. You go out and kill a cop and say, oh, the terrorists did it. And that gets all the police officers ready to shoot first and ask questions later because they're dealing with a cop killer. And just as was the case with Lee Harvey Oswald, didn't get killed resisting arrest. Tamerlan did. According to witnesses, he was run over by a police SUV and then shot. Police went into this backyard and they shot this boat full of holes trying to get Dzhokhar. With all the bullets they fired, they still didn't get him. And he surrendered, and he's still alive. I hope he stays that way. All right, let's move on here to the situation in Benghazi. And as I pointed out before, it's kind of interesting. Fox News is giving the hearings in Benghazi full coverage. CNN and MSNBC are not. So there's a political perceptual bias going on here. John Bolton is out there saying Benghazi could bring down the Obama administration. No, it is not going to happen. Obama's in his second term. He can't run for office ever again. We know this Congress will never impeach him. What this is all about is the GOP wanting to derail Hillary Clinton's plan to run in 2016. And that's why Fox News, which is tied in with the GOP establishment, is giving this thing mainstream coverage, and CNN and MSNBC, who lean the other way politically, are kind of treating it like it's a non-issue. Congress, of course, will wag their finger, do absolutely nothing as usual. When Obama will finish out his term in office and Hillary will be selling her memoirs as her public life career comes to an end. And by the way, she's already made that deal. $25 million advance on a memoir in which she will reveal her disagreement over the killing of bin Laden, her real sexuality, and a couple of other things. And we know the killing of bin Laden was a hoax, and I'm not even interested in the other stories, especially her sexuality. I could care less. Book's going to be a waste of trees, but she gets her money up front. It's a payoff is what it is. Now, getting back to this Benghazi, there are some things that are coming out at these hearings. Basically, a reaffirmation of what we reported before. All of the decisions, minute to minute to minute, were made at the highest levels and the blame dropped on the underlings. Whistleblower has come forward to basically say that the rapid response force that was preparing to go from Tripoli to Benghazi were told to stand down. The White House wanted this incident to happen. Didn't work out the way they did, that they wanted it to. But what I think this was, and Congress will never go anywhere near this story. Last September, the beginning of the month, polls showed Mitt Romney just slightly ahead of Barack Obama. Obama had failed to gain any kind of traction with the killing of bin Laden, mostly because Americans understood that wasn't really bin Laden who got killed. There were those laughable, phony photos that were leaked out onto the internet. Most Americans, because they're now getting their news from the independent media, know the real Osama bin Laden died in late 2001 of natural causes. Nobody got him. He just croaked. And so last September, start of last September, Obama needed a new publicity stunt to reassert his role as a leader and a dynamic leader who would deal with the crisis of terrorism. And so what I think happened is they sent a small covert action team to play at being Al-Qaeda, to attack the consulate, kidnap the ambassador, and hold him for a few days while the corporate media just built the story and built the story. Hostage crisis, hostage crisis. Will it be a new Iran? And then Obama would send in the SEAL team to rescue the ambassador. He would look like a hero because he didn't let the hostage crisis go on the way Jimmy Carter had. And he'd be a hero. And what I think happened is when the Libyans living around the consulate heard the gunfire, they just spontaneously said, let's join in. Let's tear the flag off the flagpole. And this carefully orchestrated stage play campaign tactic turned into a wild free-for-all riot, and the ambassador got killed. And now everybody's trying to pull back and cover up for it. According to Jason Chavez, witnesses to this Benghazi situation have come under intense pressure from the White House and the State Department, basically saying that there's a campaign of intimidation to where some of these witnesses are absolutely terrified of losing their lives. So something is being hidden here. And, you know, the Democrats are saying the GOP is just grandstanding. The GOP is just saying, well, there's something here that we need to look at. And again, I don't think it has anything to do with Barack Obama. They want to get Hillary Clinton out of the 2016 race. Because if she gets into the race, she's going to be pretty much unbeatable. Even with all the baggage she's got going back to Jose Cabrera, the cocaine smuggler who was funding her husband's campaign. Big scandal, you know, Hillary Clinton in front of the White House Christmas tree posed with a known cocaine smuggler. And the Secret Service let him in. You can be a cocaine smuggler and a criminal, but as long as you're signing those big checks, Secret Service will pass you right in. And the GOP still won't admit to themselves the reason they lost in 2008 and the reason they lost in 2012 is they ignored the candidate the rank-and-file Republicans wanted, Ron Paul. They worked to railroad him out and offer up instead John McCain and then Mitt Romney. And most Republicans, I'm one of them, said, if you, the GOP, are not going to give us the candidate we want, we're going to stay home election day. And that's exactly what happened. And the GOP leadership, they're out there talking about, you know, projecting the message and targeting the wrong demographic. And they're basically just making up all these excuses because they don't want to admit that their model of we'll pick the candidate and we can rely on the Republican voters to vote the party line didn't work twice in a row. And they don't have anybody credible to run against Hillary Clinton in 2016. And so their only way of having a chance at recapturing the White House is to get Hillary Clinton out of the race now. And that's what these Benghazi hearings are really all about. To so tarnish Hillary with Benghazi that she's no longer viable as a candidate. And then the GOP will be running, I presume, against Joe Biden. And they think they can beat him. Now, interesting little story, and this gets back to this whole charade called law enforcement. There's a gentleman down in Mississippi by the name of Willie Jerome Manning. He's 44 years old. He was convicted and sentenced to death by lethal injection for the shooting of two Mississippi State University students back in 1992. He's scheduled to die tonight. The only physical evidence that tied this guy to the murder was a single hair, which the FBI initially said, oh, it's from an African American. That was the entire body of physical evidence to link this guy to the murder. The FBI has now come out and said their lab may have made a mistake and the hair really isn't from an African American man. And they have sent letters down to Mississippi saying you might want to hold off killing this guy. It may have been the wrong guy. So we're waiting to see whether the sentence is carried out or not. We know in the case of wrongful convictions, there's always a strong political motive to just go ahead and kill the guy before it becomes an embarrassment for the powers that be. James Earl Ray is a classic example. He was convinced to confess to the murder of Martin Luther King by his government-appointed attorney in exchange for leniency. He didn't get the leniency, immediately recanted the confession, said, "My lawyer told me to say it," and spent the rest of his life in prison trying to get a ballistics test on the rifle that was claimed to be his. Because there had been a ballistic test which proved the bullets that killed Martin Luther King did not come from James Earl Ray's rifle. The FBI said, oh, the rifle wasn't tested properly. James Earl Ray and his lawyer said, all right, let's retest it. Go through the proper procedure and retest. And the FBI just stalled and stalled and stalled and stalled until James Earl Ray died in prison. So I hope they'll do the right thing for this kid, for this man down in Mississippi. I would not be surprised if they just put him to death just to get the political embarrassment over. We'll be right back.
What will you do without freedom? That's the question the American Freedom Party is asking as a high-tech surveillance state continues to be constructed in the one-time land of liberty. Through methodical gradualism over many years, the United States has been hollowed out economically and morally. The Republican Party is little more than a partner in crime to the open globalism and cultural Marxism of the Democrats. Both parties support the offshoring of American industry and jobs, open borders, endless wars of aggression all over the world, and slavish obedience to Israel and to the banksters and gangsters of Wall Street. The American Freedom Party is guided by the sole principle of supporting what's good for America and Americans. The American Freedom Party rejects the archaic liberal conservative paradigm in favor of an outspoken advocacy of freedom and liberty that rings true to America's traditional values and way of life. The hour is late, but America can yet survive and begin to thrive again if enough Americans act to regain their freedom. The alternative is too bleak to contemplate. Learn more about the American Freedom Party by going to AmericanFreedomPartyInfo.us. That's AmericanFreedomPartyInfo.us.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay, all the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley, an area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species, all gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, colloidal minerals, Superfam and Super Male Plex, colon enhancer, our top selling liquid, Cal Mag Vitamin D, MSM Sulfur Capsules, and Elderberry Power Capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
What really happened? Wouldn't you like to know? Tune in to Fight with Arrow. Really at the radio. Tired of the mainstream media's lies. Listening to Mike with the open your eyes. Tune in to Fight with Arrow. Really at the radio.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And we're just getting word that apparently the jury has reached a verdict in the Jody Arias case. It's going to be announced at 4:30 p.m. Eastern time, which is about an hour and a half from now. And again, you know, big news, big conditization. It doesn't affect my life. I don't know Jody or the guy she stabbed. Doesn't affect you. It's just more fluff and distraction away from the things that really do affect you, the economy and the continued rush to escalate World War III into a full-on conflict. Apparently, James Holmes is entering an insanity plea regarding his mass killing at the Aurora movie theater. Gee, you think? But this is a good thing because, again, it underscores the idea that these mass shootings are not the problem of the guns. It's a problem with people being a little bit crazy and possibly being on these mind-bending medications. I imagine Dzhokhar Tsarnaev is feeling very frustrated. If he'd done a mass shooting, he'd be off the hook. People blame the guns. All right, we're going to take a phone call here. Jack Rabbit in Virginia. Aloha, Jack Rabbit. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. Long time no talk. I just wanted to bring up a couple of points. Number one, this term cop killer. You know, if cops' lives are so valuable, because the term implies that they're more valuable than another life, since this a person that kills a cop has a special designation, cop killer,
mm-hmm.
Well, then maybe they ought to get out of law enforcement business. Let us defend our own lives.
I think it's a very good point. It's a very, very good point.
You know, another thing is this Adam Dokesh thing that he's going to run up here to Washington with an armed mob. I mean, who in their right mind wants a gang of people with guns marching around anywhere? It's absurd. And the whole premise of it is he's going to go up and beg the federal government for their approval to defend ourselves. That's our own natural right. We don't need their approval.
No, we don't need their permission. That's what the Second Amendment is about. The government doesn't give us a right to keep and bear arms. The government is forced to recognize our right to keep and bear arms. And under the Supreme Court decision, United States versus Miller, the Supreme Court has ruled the Second Amendment is specifically talking about the same guns held by the standing army. So if the standing army has fully automatic or three-round burst M16s, we, the people, have a constitutional right to own the same. And certainly that is going to discourage criminals from coming over and kidnapping our little kids, if we have those.
Exactly. So maybe if the powers that be that think they need to have all these weapons, they're so afraid for their lives and everything, they need to just lay down their arms, and everybody just go home, and we'll be happy defending ourselves.
That's really the amazing thing. They want us to give up our guns, but they all have bodyguards. They have Secret Service. Dianne Feinstein carries concealed. They all have their guns. They think because they're special, they have a legitimate right to guns. Their right to guns is no greater or less than that of the American people, and that's really what it comes down to. All right, we got to take
Mike.
A break. You got it, Jack Rabbit. Thank you for the call. Good points you made. We got to take a break for station identification. We'll be right back.